right, well, praise the Lord for the special music tonight and the opportunity to be in church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Galatians in chapter 1, Galatians in chapter 1, we have been going through and studying on the divisions of the Bible on our Wednesday night and our Wednesday night services, and we've made our way all the way through the Old Testament, then we got into the Old Testament, the Gospels, and then the historical book, the book of Acts. And then we find ourselves in the Pauline epistles. There's actually 14 Pauline epistles, the book of Romans all the way through the book of Hebrew. I'd really believe that to be one of Paul's letters. Paul's letters to the churches, he writes to churches and then to individuals. And you'll find that like Galatians tonight, he's writing to the churches. And then Timothy, he'll write to Timothy. And so as he writes to the churches and individuals, he has a purpose in mind for each and every one of his letters. And if we are reading that, we know that it's God's word. The Bible is God's word. And so if we're going to get everything we can out of it, then we have to be aware of the reason that the letter was written. And then we can apply that to our lives even here in the 21st century here here in the United States of America. So Galatians in chapter 1. Let's read the first five verses, which is the introduction to the book. And so go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do thank you for this another opportunity just to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received in this day of worship. And now, Father, as we look into this book of Galatians, this letter, I pray, God, that you would help us to have a better understanding of why we have it in the Word of God. And, God, that we might be able to look back to it whenever there's a need and a desire to read and study this and to learn what you have for us through this book of the Bible. Now bless in our services tonight. Bless the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this introduction into the book of Galatians, we find that Paul's opening statements affirm, first of all, his apostleship. Now that's very important because at that particular time, they did not have the completion of the word of God. And so what we would look to as the scriptures, the Bible that we have before you, they would see the very same thing in the apostles. If they believed that Paul was an apostle, then they would understand that he actually spoke the very words of God. So they are being instructed by the very words of God if they believe that Paul to be a genuine apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that was important for them. Again, today, we look at Paul being an apostle. We know more about that. We know he wrote 14 of the New Testament books, but we would refer back to the scriptures. We would say, all right, if I want to know the truth, if I want to base my belief on this, I must look to the Bible. Okay, at that time, they would actually look to the apostles because they would be the ones that would be speaking the very words of God. And so Paul wanted to establish that. He wanted to let them know that, yes, he is an apostle. Now, Paul was used by God during his second missionary journey to establish these churches in this area. And so they were very much familiar with Paul. They knew what he had established as the doctrines of their faith and what they were to continue in doing. Okay, so now he's writing back to them. And he's once again, he establishes the fact that an apostle. And he even emphasizes it when the Bible says, not of men, neither by man, but he's speaking the words of Jesus Christ, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He also mentioned those who were with him and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So now he is established his apostleship. He is addressing, he wants them to know who he is addressing. He is addressing those of the churches in Galatia. Okay, so very important that we see that what God has for us there. And then what they have in Christ. He wants them to understand what they had in Christ at this time. And what they had in Christ is grace of God, the grace of God. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you just keep looking to God, if you keep looking to His word, His will, you have grace and you have the peace that comes only from God. And then he goes on to say, who gave himself for our sins, proving his love for us, his commitment to us, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We've got to stay focused on God because the world that we live in is going to have an impact and influence on our lives. And if we're not focused on the Bible, we will be persuaded by the world instead of by the Word of God. So he says this again, who gave himself our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory and glory forever and ever. Amen. So they had the grace of God as long as they were in God's will. They could have the grace in to deal with any area of life and peace no matter what they're facing. Amen. What a great introduction. All right. Now that's something they would have established when he established the church, when he planted the churches. That's something that they would have understood. Verse 6 and 7 actually gives us a reason for this letter. Now he has reminded them of how they were established, reminded them of who he is. And then he says this in verse 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So the actual reason for the letter to the churches of Galatia, several churches have been established there. But there had been coming into that area some false teachings, some false prophets, and trying to turn the churches away from what Paul had established concerning the words of God. Okay? So the actual reason for this letter is he's writing to those who were so easily misled. Do you know of anybody that is just flighty? I mean, they just don't know what to believe. They believe one thing one day, something else the next day, something else the next day. And whoever they're around and whatever they're listening to, whether it's they turn on CNN, they believe everything that CNN teaches. Then they turn on Fox, they believe everything that Fox teaches. Then they turn on, I don't think she's even going anymore, but whoever else. Well, they turn on the television, they watch a show, and you don't realize, but whatever shows you're watching on TV, the producers have something that they want you to believe. And if you don't realize that, you believe what you watch on television. Television is possibly one of the destructive forces in America. It really is. If you don't understand what is taking place. They have an agenda. Understand that when you let your children watch certain programs. They have an agenda. We cannot be questioning everything that we believe on a regular basis. I don't understand how people do that. I mean, that would just drive me crazy, not knowing what I believe and why I believe it. Once you have studied the scriptures, once you have proved the word of God and you know what the Bible says, then stick with it. Amen. Stop questioning everything that we have been taught and what we believe, what the Bible teaches. So that's who he's writing to. And I think all of us from time to time, hopefully maybe early on in our Christian lives, had more of an issue with this. Once you start maturing in your faith, then you ought to be confident in what you believe. But these were early churches. These were baby churches here. And so Paul now is writing to them, and I believe that it can help anyone that is struggling with knowing what to believe. This book of Galatians is a tremendous book of the Bible. And so we find here, he says there, I marvel that you are so soon removed. Look over to chapter 3. And this just tells you, this is a theme of the letter. In chapter 3 in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? I mean, that was not that long ago in this first century church. The crucifixion of Christ would have been very real. The impact that Christ had. Now, we know 2,000 years later, it's still very real. And it still has a tremendous impact, but especially then. And he says, how foolish to turn away from that. How foolish it is to be persuaded in something other than what Christ had taught. And it's still very foolish. Look at chapter 5. Well, there's only six chapters, and it's interwoven within all this book of this letter to the Galatians. In chapter 5, verse 7, he says this, ye did run well. Man, you were confident. You were serving God. The church was growing. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So that's a little bit there. I mean, just woven throughout this book and this letter of Paul's to the churches there helps us to understand the reason for this is they were confused and they were easily misled and they were being foolish in what they were turning to. And so Paul gets word of this, and the Spirit of God moved Paul to write this letter that would be used of God, preserved by God for the church age, for every church of the church age. Now, Paul wrote several letters. Not all of Paul's letters that he wrote to the different churches have been preserved. But that which God wanted to be preserved and used throughout this New Testament church age, and it's been some 2,000 years now, has been written down, preserved by God. So that means this is still an issue in the 21st century. This will continue to be an issue. Can I tell you, the closer we get to the end of the church age, the more of an issue this will be. We're seeing that today. Good churches taking their identification off of the name of their church. Now I'm all for if you're not a Baptist, don't advertise Baptist. We were on vacation. We was in Banff Springs, Canada, and we looked around and it's independent Baptist church. I thought, praise the Lord, hun, we got a church to go to. I mean, this is in Canada. Don't really know, and we went in and. There was a guy that come up and greet us in a tie, and I'm thinking, well, this is a pastor. And he wasn't a pastor, he was a visitor. I said, who's the pastor? And he pointed over, and it was a guy in shorts and in a Hawaiian shirt playing a guitar. And I'm thinking, come on. And in the whole service, what he did, he said, you know, I'd been praying about what God would have me to bring, but instead of me bringing a message, I think we need to have Jesus stories. Who's got a Jesus story they want to share today? And this little boy that went to a camp that wasn't even connected to the church, he spent about 15 minutes telling about his camp experience. That was their church. And when I left, I thought, honey, can I go over and take the Baptist off of this sign? Yeah. Don't advertise something that you're not. But if you are, then advertise it. I want people to know we're an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. Yeah. Baptists are not and never have been connected to the Catholic Church. Our roots go all the way back to Christ. And if we look at the sacrifices that true Baptists have made for the simple belief of baptism, they have been burnt at the stakes, they have been imprisoned, they have been tortured because they would not denounce their Baptist beliefs in baptism. Well, if you don't understand the Baptist history, you need to, you're in a Baptist church, you need to understand what a Baptist means, what that means, what kind of statement that ought to make. We believe in the doctrines of this Bible. Yeah. So we find here that's what Paul is writing to them. And Paul said, you were established with these doctrines. You were established with this understanding. How I marvel that you would be so easily turned aside. So what we have here is three different topics. Chapters 1 and 2 is grace and the gospel. Don't be blinded to the gospel, basically. The second is chapter 3 and 4, and that is grace and the law. Understand the Old Testament along with grace. Chapters 5 and 6 is grace and the Christian liberties. Understand the liberties that we have in Christ, and don't be blinded to Christian liberties. So first of all, here in Galatians in chapter 1, look down to verse 8, because grace and the gospel, don't be blinded to the gospel. He says, I can't believe that you'd be so soon turned away from that, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, because he says here what we need to do. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before. Now he wants to make sure that they got this point. And so he repeats it a second time. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Stop considering what others might be teaching. There is only one gospel. There's one plan that God has for salvation for all humanity. There are not multiple plans. There's not multiple roads that's going to get a person to heaven. There is one plan. There is one straight and narrow path that God has determined that each and every one has to do in order to be saved and have everlasting life. That will not change. No matter how the world changes, no matter how religion changes, no matter what you might start hearing coming from even so-called Baptist churches, that will not change. That will not change. Look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, he is reiterating here his apostleship, and what he had established in the church and what he had taught them was the very word of God. Today we would say we're holding to the Bible. Amen. Paul says holding to him being an apostle. Chapter 2, look it down to verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, that will not change. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. By grace through faith is the only way. That will never change. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Don't frustrate the gospel. Don't try to confuse yourself concerning the gospel. If there's any other way to be saved than by the blood of Jesus Christ, then Jesus died in vain. And my Savior did not die in vain. He said he didn't die in vain. That was the only plan. That will never change. A person's belief and reception of the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That should never even cross our minds that there is any other way than through the blood of Christ. Well, chapters 3 and 4 deal more with the law itself, even though chapter 2 dealt with a little bit of the law, but grace and the law. Paul helps them to understand some things. Look at chapter 3 with me, verses 1 and 2. His question, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Who you been listening to? This only would I learn of you. I'm asking you because I want to learn what's happening, what's going on in your mind. How did you so easily turn away from this? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, now stop and think about this. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They did not have that in the Old Testament. So did you receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God by following the law? Or did you receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God by believing in Jesus Christ and having faith that as he ascended to heaven, he gave us a promise that he would send another comforter that would dwell in us and seal us into the day of redemption? That's what he's asking here. That's what he's getting, trying to help them to look to the teachings of Christ, look to what's going on, and that will help you to have confidence in what you believe. He gave an answer here in verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You look back, and God had a plan for the Old Testament. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, as the children of God. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. As we have an understanding of what is established now by Jesus Christ, we can look back into the Old Testament and see the reason that God did what he did in the Old Testament and through the law. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see, it's always been God's plan. The Word of God is true. It's always been God's plan to bring to us the New Testament church truths as a fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Jesus would say over in the book of Matthew in chapter 5, I love this, and this course went right along with even our message this morning concerning this, the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 17, he says this, think not that I am come to destroy the law. Didn't come to destroy it, or the prophets. Praise the Lord. Our Bible contains Old Testament and New Testament. I am not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. The prophets prophesied. They gave prophecies concerning what would take place in this New Testament church age. Every prophecy up to this point has been fulfilled. The next prophecy that we find in Old Testament and the teachings of Christ, which will come next, will be the rapture of the church. That's what we're waiting for. That's every other prophecy before the rapture has taken place. Everything that the Old Testament prophets has preached on and prophesied that would take place, it's taken place. So we have the Bible, amen, and what the Bible said would happen in the future. Now, in the future, we have Jesus Christ fulfilling everything that had been presented to the Old Testament saints. So if everything up to this point has been fulfilled and has turned out to be exactly the way that God said that it would turn out, why would we doubt that the prophecies beyond where we're at will not be fulfilled? It ought to strengthen us to know they're just as real as the prophecies that have already been fulfilled. That ought to strengthen you to stop looking around for something different. Stop looking for another set of laws, another religion, and just focus on what God has given to us in the Bible as His Word. Old Testament law was necessary to bring man to a clear understanding of everything that Christ taught for New Testament Christianity. The blood had to be shed. Matter of fact, look at chapter 3. He explains this in chapter 3 and verse 21. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was something that you could do to get you everlasting life, then yeah, praise the Lord, righteousness ought to be by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It was what had to take place, it was the teachings that would bring us into a full understanding and a full revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Grace and the law. Don't be confused concerning Old Testament. Don't be confused concerning law. Understand, it was necessary. Galatians in chapter 4, 4 through 6. Now he's trying to help them to see. Verse 4 it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. In the will of God, we have this grace and peace. We can know that we're saved. We can know that we're secure. We can know that we have the full revelation that God has for us in the scriptures. There's no new revelation. And then he comes to the very end in chapters 4 and 5 and 6, rather, and it's grace and the Christian liberties. We cannot get off track concerning Christian liberties. I think we're in an area right now of this New Testament where a lot of things are being presented as Christian liberties. And we're not focused on what the Bible says. We're focused on what is being taught and what is being given to us in Christian liberties. So chapter 5, verses 1 and 6. Look there with me. We're almost done, so hold on. Follow with me. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, and he clarifies this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," there is liberty, "wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." They were trying to pull them back into Old Testament circumcision. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." If that's what you want, that's what you're looking to, then you're a debtor to the law and not grace. "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from the grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Jesus clarifies it. Tells them not to listen to anyone who would be in opposition to the teachings of Jesus Christ. They're not looking to what Jesus Christ taught. They're looking back to Old Testament law. Or they're looking, some even beyond the teachings of Christ, to something new, to something that they want to somehow or some way accept as the will of God. And it's not the will of God. If it's not the teachings of Christ, it is not the will of God. If it's not what Jesus says to do, or if it's not what Jesus says to stay away from, listen to me, and we have instructions on Christianity, if it's anything other than what Jesus Christ established and taught us, it's not the will of God. We are warned about Antichrist in the latter days, how that it will be a huge movement. Can I tell you, some might even call themselves Christians, but if they are standing in an Antichrist position, either on what Jesus said to do or on what Jesus Christ said not to do, it's Antichrist. That is not something that we need to buy into. We have the example of Jesus Christ. We have the completion of the Word of God. We have the Bible, as Paul says. You have me as an apostle and what I've established. Don't turn away from that truth. Even if you think it's coming from me, I am not going to direct you in anything different, because what I have taught you is the teachings of Christ. If I ever start teaching something different than what I have taught for the last 33 years, leave this church and find a church that continues to preach and teach the same thing. Because the Bible's the same. And if I've done my due diligence, I am preaching what the Bible says. And I've been doing that for 33 years. I am preaching what thus saith the Lord. I am holding to what the Bible teaches. I am not going to be turned away on any other direction, because I have proven what the Bible says. The only way that I would do that is if I were blinded. And that's, any man is capable of being blinded. And when that church is blinded, then you leave that church and you hold fast to the teachings of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. That's what Paul is getting across here. Antichrist is something other than what Christ taught. In Christ, we have been equipped to live a life that is pleasing to God. Bottom line, that's what it's all about. We're finishing here. Let me share this and we're done. But chapter 5, verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. If what I am could do and not be sin, but if it offends someone else, I'm not serving that person. I'm putting myself above that person's needs and understanding. So just because I could in Christian liberty, if it's going to be a stumbling block or a hindrance, I should not do it. That's the teachings of Christ. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Spirit will never lead you to do something wrong. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Drop down to verse 22. Something else he's given us to help keep us on track. But the fruit of the Spirit. It's to help keep us on track. This is not going to change. This is how the Spirit of God is going to lead you. Don't let anybody teach you it's going to lead you in some other way. The fruit of the Spirit is going to lead you in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Wow. In Christ, we have been equipped to live a life that is pleasing to God. Chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, God says, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. There's going to come false teachings. There's going to come antichrist types of doctrines, way of living. But let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, you stick to the stuff. You hold on to your faith. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And then closing out verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule. Now remember, they had been looking at different directions. They had been foolishly being led astray. And he brings them all back and he's giving them this doctrinal study and this doctrinal truth. And he says, as many as walk according to this rule, stick to what you've been taught from the Bible. Peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We need to get grounded in Christ and his word, know the truth, and the truth itself will make us free. What a blessing we have in the book of Galatians. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. This book of the Bible is a very important book of the Bible. It addresses things that we're going to face in Christianity, especially as we get closer and closer to that, the rapture of the church, to the end time. Let's not turn away from our faith. Let's not turn away from the teachings of Christ. Let us hold to and continue to follow after the words of God. Father, we bow before you. We thank you, Lord, for the teachings of your word. I just pray, God, that as we've gone through and just tried to present an overview of this book of the Bible, that all of us would see the need for this book of the Bible and appreciate it and read it and study it, so that we would not be easily persuaded in a different direction. Pray that you would just bless down this invitation. For this we ask in Jesus' name.